Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
We're back.
Part two. And I have to address the elephant in the room, which unfortunately you'd have to be in this room with us to truly understand. But we've just arrived in
exactly the same outfit. Exactly the same outfit.
Yes.
Maybe like yin and yang a little bit. Yeah. I'm in like a darker shade. I'm in a darker t-shirt and a darker denim. But you are in a t-shirt and denim overalls also.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So we're taking this episode seriously.
No, I think why this is so funny is how much shit we gave these girls in the previous part of being like, oh, you came in a crop top and a black high-waisted black skirt.
I know.
And here we are.
Here we are doing the same shit and reacting the same way. I'm like, oh my God.
I mean, look what? At us. We always do this.
Twinning. So I don't blame us. I don't blame them.
It feels meant to be.
This just feels like a lesson. A lesson learned.
I'm so sick of lessons, dude.
I'm done. I've
just
learning
had
them.
So many lessons yeah. in the past
couple days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm tapped out on lessons. Yeah. I've read the book.
I feel good for now on lessons.
I don't think we need any more lessons.
No.
We've learned all there is to know.
Yeah. I feel at peace. I feel totally peaceful. But I feel like we dive right back in.
I think we gotta go. We gotta just go straight back into it.
Okay.
All right.
So here's where we left off. Carly and Taylor are like a match made in heaven, but they just don't know each other yet.
Exactly.
Is how they were described at the beginning of like makeup artists and hair people and everybody being like, do you know Carly? You guys are the same. And we also find out like sweet little anecdotes. Carly brings cookies every time people do, like for all the like team of a photo shoot.
Yeah. And now she has like a cookie company that she just sends out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Love.
For charity on top of that.
God. She is a nice girl.
Yeah,
what
she
we're learning.
Is.
I think this is the whole thing is that they're just like, we are two nice girls being nice.
And I think that they just cling to each other in the hurricane. You know, they clearly did. It's not like the paparazzi was being particularly nice in the like mid 2010s.
No.
So it almost was like their radical act was just that they were like, we're going to be sweethearts. We're going to be little sweethearts together.
Do you know what's weird, though, is I've been thinking about it in the days since we left off. And how many best friend duos do you really see in the celebrity realm?
None.
None, right?
None. The ones that come to mind.
What, Selena and Taylor? Like the Taylor relationship?
Yeah, the Taylor relationship. Selena and Taylor, Gigi and Taylor.
Yes.
Gigi and Bella, but they're sisters. It doesn't count.
No, it doesn't count.
Honestly, maybe like Lena Dunham and Jemima Kirk. Like step out on the town together.
Maybe like Kendall and Haley, but there's also something that feels, I don't know, separate about that. I don't know. There's nothing quite like we are two gals like skipping down a red carpet the way that like Taylor does, you know?
No, and when it does, I mean, Kylie and Jordan Woods, it like, whenever we do see two gals that are like, this is my soulmate for life, my BFF, my biffle, my everything. Something happens.
Yeah, something goes awry. Did we read this in the last part? We're real girls, says Swift, who, as if on cue, drops part of the cookie she's eating on her dress, picks it up, and eats it. 5-second rule. Did we read that?
We didn't read that. And I'm glad you did. I'm glad you're bringing that up.
Dropping her cookie, eating it. She's an everyman.
No, she's the everyman. The 5-second rule was a little on the nose.
Oh.
I can't imagine that it's staged, but it does feel like sort of like perfect time to convince them that I'm just like them.
Okay, I thought you were just referring to the fact that we both just ate a croissant and you dropped most of the jam.
All down the front of my overalls, like a child.
Yeah.
Like a child in a...
I thought you were like, this symbiosis is too much.
Oh my God, no. But again, it is. But it is as well. Both can be true at the same time. Yeah, I did. I have sticky jam all over my front. I should have worn a bib. I should have worn a bib.
And the one time you leave it at home.
Making a mistake like that in overalls already when you look kind of like a grown child, just like a tall child, it's like, it's double embarrassing. It got in my hair. It got in my hair. You ran to get wet paper towels.
Do you know what's so funny about overalls, though, is I feel like they have a very strange effect on men. Like, yeah. I never get complimented on an outfit. And then the other day I wore overalls. Multiple men said, I like your overalls.
Oh, my God.
What does that mean? Is that some, like, holdover from I Know What You Did Last Summer, like Jennifer Love Hewitt just being, like, hot in a little crop tank and an overall?
Well, that's, like, how someone told me that if I wear pigtails, I'll get more tips.
Yes, and that has happened to me.
Yeah.
I have worn pigtails, and it's crazy the effect that it has.
No, I know. People, I was talking to a friend about this, and she's like, people ask me if I dyed my hair when I wear pigtails. It's wild. Like, what, like, you just noticed something?
But no, I walked in with a coffee for you, Chris, and I walked in, and Chris goes, you look good.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I look the exact same as I did yesterday. Are you sure it's not the overalls?
the overall effect.
The overall effect.
The new cut article that you and I are currently writing, pitching. It's definitely something Lolita-ish. It's probably some, it reveals something sick about our psyche. But
who am I to judge? I love looking like a Cabbage Patch Kid. Yeah. And I won't apologize for it.
Wait, speaking of Cabbage Patch Kid, actually,
no, you're lying. No, stop right now.
I thought that you would take special interest to the fact that as we go after the 5 second rule moment,
yeah,
we learned something that I felt maybe out of everything we've learned about Taylor would endear you to her the most, you specifically.
Okay.
That she has a collection of old timey nightgowns, aka muumuus, that she sort of insists when her friends are over that everyone wear. She's like, get into something more comfortable, slip into one of my old-timey nightgowns, and they'll wear it while they're watching TV. And there is a photo that exists of her, Cara Delevingne, and Kendall Jenner all lying in bed in old muumuus.
I'll be totally honest with you.
Yeah, I prefer it.
I love vintage. I'll wear vintage at all times. There's something about a nightgown specifically that gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Oh my God. But how do you separate a nightgown from a muumuu?
No, a muumuu I'm buying new. I'm buying a fresh muumuu. Oh yeah. I'm not like scrolling through eBay to look for my muumuus. I'm buying them freshly out the factory.
I see. Yeah. So it's like a robe. How you wouldn't go thrifting for a robe.
Exactly right. Okay. Like, I'm not really, like, fundamentally, I'm not going thrifting for a brassiere, you know?
No. We draw the line somewhere. Like, for secondhand.
That one I don't, like, necessarily need. And yeah. I'll wear vintage anything. I'll wear vintage bikinis. I'll do the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, it's the nightgown. It's like people have lived in this.
Yeah.
This nightgown people have died some things.
In this.
I don't.
Yeah.
That's seen some things. It's like the doll collection of it all. There's a creepiness to it.
I understand.
Also, if you came over and I was like,
put this on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of another level of control.
Yeah, it is. And it's like aesthetic, but not aesthetic. Like, even if it was like ugly PJs, if I was like, put this on.
Yeah.
There's something there that's like, why?
Why? It's kind of
why?
It's insidious. But I can't quite put my finger on it.
No, of course. Well,
By contrast, if you came over and I was like, let's all dive into my, you know, my gown collection. Let's all choose one and put something on. That feels fun.
Yeah.
I don't know what the nightgown component.
Honestly, I had a similar sensation when I watched Kendall Jenner's Inside Open Door, the like inside her apartment tour.
Yeah.
And she took us to her like painting room where she was like, me and my friends, like, we'll all put on these like aprons or overalls or whatever. And like, we'll all paint. And I'm like, that sounds like a nightmare.
I know.
That also sounds like nobody actually wants to do that.
There's always a component of those AD open doors where it's like, this is the reading room. My friends and I will just sit and we'll recite poetry to one another. And I'm like, I don't know if that happens at any room in the house.
At gunpoint? I know.
No, it's really weird also when I see these young women with very elaborate homes, speaking of Taylor Swift and Trey Becker and whatever, because I'm like, you don't know your taste at that point.
No.
Like, God bless. Like, when I see Emma Chamberlain with the most beautifully decorated house, I'm like, at the end of the day, you are 21. all this beautiful, expensive stuff. It feels like cosplay almost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I personally, I'd like to step forward into the spotlight and say, I have no interior design taste.
No.
I like, absolutely, I cannot picture a room and what ties it together. And I envy the people that are able to be like, this is a worthwhile investment. Like, I'm going to have this for years. I think it's also because I've moved like every year of my life. Actually, and things have been left to the curb no matter how beautiful they are.
Incredible story. I just had drinks with a friend and fellow podcast host, Isabel Truman, host of After Work Drinks. Shout out. She was telling me that there is a epidemic right now of a man just ripping around East LA, stealing mid-century furniture from people who purchase it from Instagram resellers.
What?
How crazy. Say like a mid-century Instagram account posts like, thank you so much like for buying, and it's someone's like home. He will find the home and steal it. Going buck wild out here in these streets, just like people of their overpriced Swedish Japanese fusion furniture.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I know.
That's such a specific kind of crime.
It's, I know. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
If you're gonna rob, you better rob like that.
Yeah, rob with taste.
Yeah.
It's
don't
true.
Go for the Rolex. Go for the 4-piece dining room set.
Yeah, exactly. The rattan chairs.
Yes.
Good luck finding authentic ones again. But it's true. When I think of Taylor Swift's home, it is crazy to think of all her friends sitting together in nightgowns. Watching what? I have no idea.
I just have one last thing to say about it.
Yeah.
Knowing that you're always going into a hang that's 6 people deep feels like a lot. Like you're always having a diet party.
Yeah.
Whenever you're hanging out with this person, like almost the entirety of our relationship is like one-on-one.
Yeah, it's so
you know?
True.
Sometimes we'll have four.
A third. We'll welcome a third into the bedroom. Yeah.
We'll be a couple seeking a third.
Yeah.
But usually it's just the two of us connecting.
Yeah. Wait, I also do have to pay you a compliment right now. And it's coming really? On very strongly.
What?
But as I'm thinking of the 6 friend deep, and I'm sure you've had friends like this that wither in groups, that it's like they are their worst when they're in like a group hang or there's like inequity, and you are someone that I feel like is entirely yourself, like no matter the setting that you're in, like whatever group hang, you like remain yourself and I never have to worry about you.
That's the best feeling, isn't it?
It is, like it's a complete freedom. It's like the, you know, locking eyes with your lover across the room at a party, knowing that like you have nothing to prove here. Like I'm not worried about what you're doing. You're not worried about what I'm doing. But like, we know at the end of the night, we're going to live, laugh, love and giggle about it all together.
No, I think that's the sexiest quality in a partner.
Yeah.
Is being able to be like, I could take you anywhere and drop you and leave you.
Yeah.
Because I've definitely been with men who I had to have my talons on at all times.
Yeah.
Like to make sure everything was okay. But also because I think I was like semi-embarrassed or like what they would say.
Yeah,
like
they
would, you know, just innately problematic in some way. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like that, it's the sickest thing just to be like, I'm just going to drop you.
You're good.
And we'll circle back.
Yeah. I know.
But like you, if you're walking into a 6-person hang at all times, do you leave being like, do I feel fulfilled? Does my cup feel filled by this interaction? Because like, I just feel like I was on that entire time with the hottest, coolest girls in Hollywood in a nightgown. And my God, am I relieved to walk out that door.
I also just have to believe that the dynamics, it does seem like Taylor is the nucleus of all of this. But like, how close?
A Kendall and Lena Dunham.
Cara Delevingne and Selena.
Right. Right.
How
close
are those girls?
Yeah.
Are they seeing each other? Yeah.
Well, they did hook up in Only Murders. It was the hardest to watch kiss I've ever seen.
Really?
Actually, I won't recommend. Don't go see it. I was squirming, my head buried in the pillows.
Oh God.
Because it was a very straight girl hooking up with a, you know, a lesbian.
Yeah.
And it just it's
not right.
It wasn't right.
Oh,
it wasn't
God.
Right. No.
That I feel like that takes the cause backwards.
Chronically online lesbians were like, No. Like we didn't need it. Like thank you for the representation. Take it back.
You didn't do it right. You did not do right by us. Yeah, that's so true.
It wasn't good.
But speaking of Lena,
she
has the cutest quote in the world here, which I think like really illuminates our point. Dunham calls her the Betty Crocker of friendships. And she's most impressed by how Swift always has the time for people she loves. It's amazing to have a friend who's that busy and also so available. Even if she's in Hong Kong on tour and I'm going through something, if I text her, I get an answer in 2 seconds. If something good happens to me, say I get a nomination or it's my birthday or the day before my birthday or my book comes out, I get a text from Taylor way before I get a text from my mom.
Yeah, this I don't know how she does.
Yeah.
But I've heard consistently from people this is like Taylor's MO. I mean, I don't know if we talked about this on the Taylor episode, but she was famous early on in her career for hitting every radio station and having a little notebook and writing down key details about people's lives and then going back into that radio station the following year and be like, hey, Daryl, how is Katie and the fam?
Oh,
like, yeah. And did you get that new trailer like you said you were going to? Oh, my God. So Trips to the Lake, she is 5 steps ahead.
Yeah.
And I think obviously the critique lobbed at her has been calculated.
Yeah.
But you could also just be like, that is someone who is just so aware at all times. Like, she is across it
at it's all like times. Weaponized kindness.
Yes. Not kill him with kindness.
Yeah, yeah. And not really not in a negative light.
No.
Just like honestly impressive, because you do have to prioritize that kind of attention to detail that does not just come naturally, especially to most people. Most people, it's like you're meeting a stranger. What is in it for you to remember anything about them?
Well, I think that's the thing I dislike the most about myself is that I have a tendency to really forget. Like, I will see someone and then they'll be like, oh, I went to New York or I had to go away or whatever. And I'll see them a few months later. And it just doesn't occur to me to ask and follow up about that, which kills me. Because especially when they remember something that I've told them. Oh,
no, the guilt of that is real. And the texting is also, I think, a practice. It just feels like a lot of these things are practices that she has like actively fostered in herself. Mm-hmm. I have friends and I've seen this happen. Get a text, respond to a text. Get a text, respond to a text. There's no like get a text, read it, put the phone down, finish what you're doing, then pick it back up.
Yeah.
It's like it doesn't matter. You get a text, you respond immediately.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah. I tend to do it because otherwise I feel overstimulated. Also the scene component, the red component, that hurts me.
Yeah.
For a long time, I was doing unread on Instagram thinking it would work for us both. But alas, it still comes up as seen on their end.
Oh, really?
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So it's just for yourself that...
Yeah. It just puts the message back to the top of your inbox so you can go back to it later. But this is really interesting because has this not been the running narrative in every single Taylor Swift profile we've done? Because this is the third. This is the third.
Yeah.
And every single one has mentioned middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go again. Some of Swift's eagerness to make friends probably comes from her having felt like an outcast while growing up. I have a lot of issues from school, she says. You can tell, probably. Essentially, she left a small Pennsylvania town where she was made fun of for her music and then is now surrounded by people with like similar talents and creative ambitions. So it feels like a high school do-over. And that is, I think, what felt so crazy about the girl squad is everyone was like, oh, we're back in high school. These are the hottest, most popular people. They're the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Just strutting the streets.
Yeah. They really are. And this part kills me. When I ask Swift which metaphorical lunch table she sits at now, she immediately gets what I'm saying. I want to make the table as big as possible, and I want everyone to sit with me, she says. I love when people say stuff like this.
Why?
It's like how politicians speak.
Yes.
It's like justice for all in America together.
It's not that it feels dishonest.
No.
It's just that it's so unrealistic and overly optimistic that it's like this is not applicable. Like, not everyone is going to want to sit at your table.
No.
Who are you? Jesus at the Last Supper?
Yeah.
Like, why is it sit with me?
Mm-hmm.
I just want everyone to have a seat. Oh, God. Am I igniting the Swifties right now?
Oh, my God. We fear for our lives.
They're riding at dawn.
You look at me and I'm shaking. No. No, I think we've been very fair to this woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think in every single one we've been fair, right?
Yeah. The next day after this, she's at the Billboard's Women in Music Awards luncheon. Aretha Franklin sings her happy birthday.
Impromptu.
Yeah.
Spontaneously.
Unbelievable.
An Aretha Franklin serenade.
I can't even imagine. Oh no, you're, what's happening?
No, I'm just dead at this sentence. If female musicians are supposed to all be out for one another's blood, it's not happening on Swift's watch. On this album, she had a song called Bad Blood, which comes for Katy Perry. Yeah. And quite literally uses the word blood in the title, in the chorus.
A misread, I think. It is kind of, though, well, it also feels fitting that we're doing this now because recently, I would say still in the relevant timely newsiness of it all, Joe Alwyn has spoken out for the first time since their breakup.
I didn't see what he said.
Basically, he said, so neutral, nothing crazy about it. But he was just like, it is insane to be in like a loving, supportive 6-year relationship. And then as soon as it ends, it is like for the public to feast on and assume things about.
Yeah.
And it's like completely in the public discourse in a way that like me and the person that I was with have no control over. But it is interesting in terms of like what Swift says and what she does. Where it's like what she says is like, we should all be supporting each other. What she does is bad blood. Or, you know, yeah, what she says.
I want everyone at the table.
Yeah.
It's very Sagittarius. Yeah. It's like, I will come for your neck if you wrong me. It's the like the revenge component, I think. Like, as long as we're good, we're good. But if something's wrong, the knives are getting sharpened. The hoop earrings are being removed.
Sagittarius is scare me so much.
Oh, it's my mom. It's my mom.
They operate on a different set of rules than the rest of us.
Yeah. I haven't said this in a few episodes. My mom is the mayor
of
my hometown. And the woman is never without fur, lipstick, and leather. She is on at all times. She like doesn't know how to be off. She like can't sit in the silence. And this is what this reminds me of. Like, it kind of almost doesn't matter to them, I think, if they have like that best friend, really like fundamental lifeblood connection. Mm-hmm. All that matters is that they have so many people in different pockets who are available to them at all times.
Oh my God.
Astrologically, I think we're going off the rails here, but this is what I know to be true.
Yeah.
About
Sagittarius. You've lived it. You've lived it. And no one can take that away from you.
But you know that like Sagittarius remains the most famous people person sign.
Yeah.
And I think that's for a reason. They're the ones who can handle it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Brad Pitt, it's Miley.
Britney Spears. Yeah.
Christina.
Yeah, of course.
I think it might be Nicki Minaj. I could be wrong there. Maybe she's...
No, I think you could be right. I think
really?
I think you could be right. Just it's like mega famous. It's not... We're not talking about, you know...
The Vanderpump Rules cast.
No.
No, this is the highest echelon of fame, and they're all Sagittarius.
Yeah.
Party people.
It makes sense. In the next scene, we catch Taylor.
It's funny because this profile is scenes.
Scenes.
It's a series of scenes.
It is scenes from a marriage.
Scenes from a marriage.
She is back in New York City. She is playing Madison Square Garden, addressing a crowd of 17,000 as if she's talking to one of her girlfriends on the phone. She is, and I do need to call this out, dressed in red plaid, high-waisted pants, and a matching crop top. Her hair is feathered. She's officially turned 25, and she launches this out at the crowd. Mm-hmm. I know why you choose music. It's because you want to escape from haters and frenemies.
Bob Dylan. That's why he picked up a guitar.
That's why?
To escape haters and frenemies?
Also, the suggestion that, like, that's why everyone is here watching one of the most popular, like, pop stars in history is, like, to escape haters and frenemies.
Bach composing in the 1800s just as like, fuck the haters.
Yeah.
I'm going to write a symphony.
Yeah. And they're all going to freak.
I mean, she may be right. Maybe one of the most powerful motivators.
It's true.
The haters.
It's true.
This was an insane sentence.
I know.
Also
I know.
Saying New York City, it's good to be home when she moved last year.
That's true too.
It's everyone who's ever lived in New York. And they're like, oh, big lights, big city.
Yeah.
You know?
Me 6 months into living in New York talking about how I'm going to be buried there.
Oh, yeah. just like the five boroughs, what's up? Yeah. He lives in Staten Island. I could never. Flicking your acrylics, being like, you know what?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Like, just like.
It happens too quickly for no, comfort.
It happens to the best of us. Like, we can't.
It's like the most embarrassing thing in the world.
It's so embarrassing.
And I mean, it afflicts mostly those in their early 20s. It's people that go to NYU yeah. and they're like, New York City is my home.
Within a year, you're like, it's an abusive relationship, but I just can't leave it. Because yeah. when it's good, it's so good.
The bodega coffee.
Yeah.
Hot on my lips. Good on my brain. No, the haiku is not coming.
It was poetic.
Something there.
No, that's a jingle ball, right? No.
No, yeah.
MSG, just chilling in tartan?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was because it was Christmas themed. Oh, no, it is.
It is. No, you're right.
She chose tartan just a
random day in April? Yeah. No. It's jingle ball.
Yeah. And then she goes home to her apartment after the performance and has like, I guess, an after party, so yeah. to speak. Everyone's there. Iggy Azalea, Charlie XCX, Ariana Grande, Sam Smith, Nick Jonas, along with all her OGs, including mm-hmm. Carly Kloss and Abigail Anderson, you know, the redhead that she sings about in 15. How could
right.
we forget?
Right.
And they are just jamming out to Justin Timberlake and Jay-Z and Beyonce. Taylor says, I have like 20 different people flying in. My friends are staying in every room. This is the night of her 25th birthday, right?
Yeah,
this
it is.
A celebration?
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. It is so sweet. And her mom flew out to like decorate her apartment, but then is also like, no mother should be there for her 25th birthday. You need to know when to step away.
Wait a damn minute. Is the writer here at her 25th birthday party?
I don't know. I think there would be more if she was there. If she was present for the night of her 25th birthday, I think maybe she's getting an accounting of it.
I don't know, because she says her mother, Andrea, however, who flew in from Nashville earlier laden with decorations, now draped over mirrors and mantles. With every window in the place, I lose count at 15, garlanded as well. It's like she's there.
Oh, no, you're right. She also says, in the month since I saw her turn 25.
Yes!
She's become a proud owner of a bejeweled necklace.
Who invites a Vogue journalist to your 25th birthday?
I know.
What?
That is wild. It must be the kind of, like, you should come. The kind of kindness that she's known for. Yeah. No, you have to come. It'll be so fun. Come.
Who wants the press at your birthday party, though?
I don't know. Wouldn't you? You wouldn't be able to relax the whole
you
time.
You literally wouldn't be able to turn off.
And getting drunk and stuff.
And you know that she, for sure, what? She loves to drink.
I know.
She does love to drink.
I know.
We've talked about this.
Yeah. I actually don't know what her tolerance must be. Like, how many drinks can she have?
Yeah, and it's always an interesting choice of drink. It's like a white wine. Yeah. But in the club.
Yeah.
She be drinking.
I know. Watching her chug red wine on camera at the Super Bowl or, like, whatever the Chiefs game. Yeah. It's like, whoa.
I think it just feels so foreign now because of how California sober every celebrity is.
It's so true.
I love my ayahuasca and I love my mushrooms, but my God, I will never touch a Negroni.
I know.
God forbid.
I really want to try a white Negroni. Have you had one of those?
What is that?
It's gin, but not Campari. It's like Lillet or a different like aperitivo, like digestif kind of thing.
Okay.
And I've heard it's really refreshing and really tasty. And I want to try one. I would, in my head, you to me are the queen of Negronis.
I just like, it's, I can't handle them anymore though, dude.
Oh my God.
I have one and I'm out the goddamn window. I've returned to the margarita actually following suit.
I live for the margarita.
Wait, can I tell you just very quickly what has inspired me in the day since I last saw you?
Of course.
I went out on Friday night. I had two margaritas. And as I was leaving to join Chris for dinner, both of my shoes broke.
No.
Both vintage shoes. Another hard learned lesson.
I know. No, the vintage shoes, do you do the test? The like bending them and then if they snap, they're, you know.
No, because I bought them on eBay. So of course I can't do the test.
Of course, you can't do the test.
I can't do the test. So anyway, I'm wearing them. They both break. I'm barefoot.
No.
I'm barefoot. It is 7:45, dinner reservation today. This is the kind of challenge I live for.
Yeah.
We're 30 minutes from home. We are 5-minute drive from the restaurant. In Los Angeles, that feels untenable. We're not going home.
No.
But I am barefoot. So I go, what am I going to do here? I Google the nearest thrift store still open till 8, find one 5 minutes away, walk in. I think they thought I was homeless because when I walked in, I was like, I'm so sorry, I'm barefoot. I just have to find a pair of shoes.
Oh my God.
They're broken. And they were like, okay, say no more. They helped me. When do you ever get helped in a thrift store? I'll tell you that.
No, that's so true. They don't care if you live or die in no. there.
Find a pair of $10 shoes that go perfectly with my outfit in my size.
Oh yeah.
This is the original shoe. This is the outfit.
Okay, great.
This is the new shoe.
Oh my God. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Looked like they were made for it.
I was wearing a blue and green dress. I found a pair of bright green, same green, pointed heels. That's Sam in the corner. Those are my little Wicked Witch of the West heels now.
I love them. I love them.
You just pointing a finger at, that's the culprit.
Oh my God. They're perfect.
They were $25. She gave me a discount. She was like, that seems insane. So I got a discount and I just walked away absolutely laughing. I also want to give the Argos hope that when it feels like everything's lost, there's always a green lining to any cloud.
A little shoe around the corner.
And never be afraid to be barefoot.
No. There are the people that do that, you know, that like walk.
I know. I have a close friend who does that.
No.
But it's in New Zealand, which is like a different set of rules.
That is different.
Yeah. But I think I've been Americanized in that way where I'm just kind of like, maybe like if we go for brunch, we'll put on a pair of shoes.
I don't know which is right. I can't tell you.
There is no right. There's no wrong.
It's true. It's just what makes people happy.
It's just lessons to be learned.
Yeah. Here, back again.
Back again. So yeah, the next time they're catching up, she's in LA with Taylor now.
Yeah. And it seems like she's had an amazing time. She danced with Beyonce, Haim, Justin Timberlake.
At a Justin Timberlake concert, which I'm like, none of those girls would be caught dead in 2024 at a Justin Timberlake concert.
No, they know better. They know better now.
She sent out a bunch of gifts to fans, including a check for $2,000 to pay off someone's student loan.
No, not $2,000.
What?
It was a check for
$1,800. Oh my God, I didn't even get it.
1989.
The woman's a goddamn genius, isn't she?
I know. It's like, oh, she knows how to promote a damn album.
She does.
She does.
I just like, my mind doesn't even go there to send someone $1,900 to promote your album.
No. It also does feel sickening because she has so much money, it's like to send only that much. But then I was like, she couldn't send like a million.
Well, it would have been sick if she like donated 1989 1989, like,
yeah,
like, no, that's at $1 billion. No, that's tens of millions. That's yeah. 19 million
and $89.
Eight numbers. That is in the tens of millions. No, like if she did 1989 1989,
yeah,
digits.
Eight digits is a million.
No, that's seven digits.
That's right. So
eight digits is in the tens of millions.
Tens of millions.
Yeah.
It'd be too much. She thought of this.
Yeah,
She thought of what we're talking about. Well, she's like, okay, I can't do tens of millions.
Yeah.
I'll just keep it to 1,000.
No, the business manager was like, that's not happening.
Yeah.
Ma'am. Yeah. That's already the entire private jet budget.
I don't speak of it.
Don't speak of it.
It's so crazy.
You know, she took like the shortest flight that's ever been taken. That was like, I think,
LA to Burbank or something.
Yeah, it was literally like Anaheim to Inglewood.
Why?
That's something we just have skated over.
I know.
And we will never return to. Along with the fact that she flies into Nashville 24/7, most likely for tax purposes. Because they really watch you in terms of like your residence. Like,
yeah, of course.
If you're claiming Nevada, but you're driving to like California for dinner every night, you know, they're going to catch you.
Yeah. They caught me. They haven't caught Taylor yet, but
they caught both of us.
Yeah.
But not Taylor Swift. They were like, you know the girls that are made of money?
Yeah.
Beatrice and Ivana, yeah. Those two journalists with that podcast.
Let's take them to task. let's really take them to the mat.
They've been flying too high.
Yeah.
We gotta pull them down.
Yeah. But yeah, so she does. She really does get away with it all. And we've learned now how busy Taylor is.
Right.
Like, she's like winning the awards. She's celebrating her birthday. She's donating, you know, to charity. She's paying off people's student loans. Klaus, on the other hand, lest we forget, our second counterpart here for the profile.
We've talked about Taylor for so long.
But Klaus also has been maintaining the kind of schedule that, quote, would seem to require its own air traffic controller. She is originally from St. Louis, Missouri, a Midwestern girl. And she has a new job as the L'Oreal Paris spokesperson. She is, I mean, coding all the time. She's doing shoots with Bruce Weber. She's going to LA, to Paris, to LA, to the Oscars, Fashion Week. So she's also very busy, and yet somehow these girls manage to find time for each other.
Yeah, so she used to walk 60 shows a season at the start of her career. I think she's one of the tallest models on the runway. She's 188, I think, which is, that is 6'3"?
I'm looking up.
Yeah. If I'm 175.
6'2".
6'2", yeah.
And Taylor's 5'11".
Yeah, so she's 6'2". Yeah. So it's what, she's among the tallest runway models to exist. No wonder she was booked by everyone and their dog.
Yeah.
And at the same time, she just got accepted into NYU for individualized study. And it's just like...
Christy Turlington wrote her recommendation letter.
I mean, there's no way you're not getting in if old Turlington gets on the case.
I know. Right? I know. If you know anything about me, you know that it's been a journey to get right with my curly hair. And when I want to get red carpet ready, I look no further than Noumi. Their automatic curling wand is a technological marvel, I tell you. It's a miracle of science and beauty both. With the click of a button, the wand's self-rotating function ensures that I get perfect coils every single time. And I'd be remiss not to mention Noumi's proprietary infrared heat and negative ion conditioning technologies. They work with your hair's natural oils and minerals to seal in moisture, reduce frizz, and increase shine. That, plus the barrels are made with 100% tourmaline ceramic, and that means I can get Oscar-worthy hair every day of the week. Get to curling, girls! It's a lot of, like, these girls are just like us. She was like, I was waiting for the mail every day. It's something I've been wanting to do for a long time. And now she'll be, like, still working full-time, but also going to school on the side.
She says that her and Taylor and everyone don't really talk about work. Taylor's like, the fun thing about my friends is they don't necessarily know a lot about what I do business-wise. And the first time Carly ever saw Taylor, like, pick up a guitar and noodle around on it was during the photo shoot for this story.
That's kind of wild.
That is wild.
I respect that, actually, because I know a lot of much inferior musicians who love to noodle around.
I know non-musicians who love to noodle. They love to noodle.
Yeah. And Taylor's kind of like, no, I'm not the person who grabs the guitar at the party and wants all the attention.
That is the
coolest thing she's ever said.
That's the coolest thing she has ever said. That's the best thing she's ever said. As you know, huge trigger point for me.
Yeah.
Are those people.
Yes.
And this means everything.
It does.
To hear this, to read this in print.
I know.
She goes, I have attention on me enough, so I want my friends to just be like, oh, like, we have things in common, and rather than me just sitting in a corner being like, oh my god, listen to this song I wrote about my life, I'm like performing for you.
Yeah.
Do you know who kind of I feel like would do that? Is Miley Cyrus. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
I feel like there'd be a party and there's a grand piano and she's just like, everybody gather around.
Gather around.
Yeah,
big time. And then, I mean, we found ourselves at the end here.
Are we already?
Yes, we are. I mean, we end where we started.
Okay.
Koss and Swift. Jada writes, no matter how busy they are, Swift and Koss continue to make time for each other. Swift recently had Koss over to her place for a night of cooking pasta with model Martha Hunt, stylist Ashley Avignon, and Tavi Gevinson. A few days later, that same group went to dinner at Ralph Lauren's restaurant, the Polo Bar in Midtown. The fries were delicious, says Koss.
I love that that's the thing that you pull out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, you should go to Delanona. Great fries.
What she says, actually, I misquoted her. French fries were delicious.
The French fries.
Spoken like someone who's never had a fry. When was the last time you were like, oh, I feel like an order of French fries?
No, it's like when you call someone by their full name and it's clear you don't know them. Like, I'm not saying, oh yeah, me and Kylie. I'm saying me and Kylie Jenner.
Yeah.
You know, because like, we're not on that level.
No.
She's clearly not on that level with fries.
No.
She's still using
their full
name. Their Christian name.
Yeah.
French fries.
Exactly.
Stop.
Unbelievable. Their Christian name. It is. God given.
French Louis fries.
French William fries.
Why am I crying? It's not even funny. Oh my god.
It is. Don't sell yourself short. Okay, this is how it ends. Clough says that bringing together disparate women from different industries may be Swift's most unsung talent. I've met a lot of really great girls through Taylor. She's incredible at connecting people who might not normally meet. We're all in different jobs, and we've become strong friends who are there for each other. A sisterhood of girls, a support team. But we're also just normal 20-something girls. And I think you have to have people that you can be that with. You know, real friends are hard to find. And Taylor's a real friend. There's nothing better.
I was thinking about it, awaiting your arrival. And it occurred to me, like, friendship breakups are hard enough, as we've discussed.
Yeah.
To see, like, a Vogue cover of you and your ex-friend.
Unfathomable.
It's the same reason why, I mean, at paper, we found it so hard to book couples.
Yeah.
Because publicists would be like, we're really worried this won't last.
Yeah.
When Selena and The Weeknd got together, like, that was on the table, and people were like, I just, like, it's too much of a risk to put them on, because then they're just going to have to live with this photo shoot forever. But a friend is doable. Like, a friend has a longer shelf life for sure.
Yeah.
And yet...
not always.
Not always.
Especially not in the early 20s.
But maybe that's the whole thing, is that they were a couple.
I know.
Because, like, why would you not put Selena and Taylor on a cover together with how close those girls have been throughout the years?
Yeah.
And that's, as mentioned, Selena is a straight woman.
And their origin story is so cute and interesting. Like, they met on a double date.
Through the Jonas Brothers. Yeah. So,
it's all there. The story's there.
This new friendship.
I know.
At this point in time. I mean, okay, look, if we're going to play full devil's advocate, you know, above the line here, Carly is a supermodel.
Yeah.
She belongs beloved on the cover of Vogue.
Of Vogue, yeah.
Yeah.
Beloved by Vogue.
So, and probably, I'm sure at this point, I didn't do my research, has a Vogue solo cover in 2015.
I know she had Teen Vogue, because I remember seeing it.
Yeah, belongs on Vogue. And Taylor, by contrast, also belongs on Vogue, but in a less traditional sense, because she's an entertainer and not a model specifically.
Yeah. And together, they're just... everything.
It's dynamite. Yeah. I don't know. I still don't know. I would die to know the talent booking conversations that were going on in the background. Like, Taylor would love to do it if Carly would also be involved.
And we'll never know. But it's true. The fact that they were friends for like a year.
That's
before
it.
Before this.
So do you know how it ended? Is there any evidentiary support as to their breakup, or there wasn't one?
I mean, the theories, I looked into so many. I went deep into Reddit threads. There are a lot of speculations about, like, the guest bedroom at Taylor Swift's Cornelia place that Carly used to stay in, and just, like, how often they were seen together leaving each other's places in the mornings, at night, you know. It was constant that they were together, sleeping over for days on end, which is, like, again, beautiful friendship. But also why I think it's, like, fueled these internet theories that they were more.
The speculation is so fueled by the fact it ended so abruptly.
Yeah.
Because
the weddings. It's really, I would say that if there was, like, a definitive ending, not attending both of
her
weddings.
To be invited and not attend.
Yes.
Is really what it is.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can never be invited and never show up, but, like, even with, like, an ex-friend, I would probably still go to a wedding that I was invited to.
Oh, for sure.
So it's like, it's odd. And you can see Taylor never misses a birthday, she never misses a publication deadline.
She is
scheduling things for her friends. I mean, she flew back from Japan for the Super Bowl and got there 2 hours before and showed up and smashed her red wine to watch Travis Kelce sing Viva Las Vegas.
I know,
like, she's moving mountains.
Yeah, she is.
To say that it's a schedule conflict.
And that they were both a year apart from each other. Like, there was, like, the intimate first wedding and then a bigger second wedding. And, like, both she was missing from.
And she loves a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen her attend many.
Yeah. Was she at Jack Antonoff's? Yeah.
Jack and Margaret Qualley recently. Did I tell you I ever sitting with Jack Antonoff for a long time?
No.
Did I tell you about that?
No.
Oh, I went to his studio.
Oh, my God.
And he kept saying, because I'm from New Zealand, my friend Ella, i.e. Lord.
Oh, my God.
He kept being like, that's so crazy. My friend Ella has never tried Lucky Charms. I'm like, use the full name, please.
Yeah.
French William Fries. No, I was like, oh, my God, me and Ella, thick as thieves.
Yeah.
Two girls just mirroring each other's lives. But no, he was really, really nice. But this was just after the 1989 full.
No way.
Yeah. So he was popping. And we went to his apartment, a friend and I, and sat in his home studio. And he was still with Lena. And there were a lot of packages addressed to Lena. It was really weird. Whoa. I know. I've never experienced anything like that again, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had a friendship breakup that you were mostly responsible for? Or that you did something wrong?
I feel like it's so subjective because I had like a friendship breakup like in my high school years, like 16, 17 years old. We grew up together, very, very close, and broke up because of her boyfriend. I let something slip to her mom unintentionally, like through my, like it was like a, like she got in trouble because of me. So in that way, like, yes, I did something.
Yeah.
And that was like the initial rift, was her being like, how could you like let this slip? Like, I'm in trouble now. How dare you?
Yeah.
But it was built upon months of drifting.
All my friendship breakups were in my early 20s.
Yeah. And then some complete ghosts to me now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm blocked. No idea where they are.
Whoa.
I know.
The craziest one for me, and it's top of mind because Chris brought it up the other day, is that the night I met Chris, I was in the club in LA and I was staying at a friend's house in her bed, and she was staying at her girlfriend's house, and I was out with her roommate, and we both met Chris and one of his friends, and the roommate was like, I like Chris's friend, and I was like, oh, I like this guy, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, what if we invite them back to the house? And I was like, okay, like if you think that's okay. So both the boys like stayed over, and I remember Chris and I being like, nothing can happen here because we're in my friend's bed and this feels like not okay. We woke up in the morning and Chris's friend hadn't woken up, and they were in the room together, the roommate and Chris's friend. And I was like,
yeah,
they've got to go. Like, these boys have to go. It was 9 a.m. Chris and I went and got a coffee. We came back. We're sitting on the edge of this girl's bed. Bed's made. We're fully dressed. It's all good.
You have coffee in hand.
Coffee in hand. We're waiting. We're just literally waiting on this guy to wake up so Chris and him can Uber home. She walks in with her girlfriend, and from her face, I'm like,
uh-oh,
this is not good. This is not good. She was like, and I justifiably so upset that I had a guy over. And as much as I was like, truly nothing happened, it was just whatever. She like was not having it. I went above and beyond. I feel like I bought her, like I went out that day, bought her all this makeup, bought her flowers. I cleaned her entire house. Of course. It was a craftsman. It was not an apartment.
No.
It was a 5-bedroom like,
oh my God,
manor. And she never spoke to me again. I wrote her like a handwritten note, and I flew out that night. And Chris brought it up the other day and was like, do you ever feel like messaging her and being like, that guy who stayed over, I have now lived with for 4 years.
Yeah.
And I just no. But like ultimately making that choice was worth it for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I sacrificed a friendship in the process. That was collateral damage.
I have heard of people having this issue, and like, I just simply don't understand it. Mm-hmm. Everyone is allowed to do whatever they want in my bed. Yeah. It is a lifeless piece of fabric that I sleep on in the night.
It holds real emotional weight for a lot of people. It's very intimate, dude.
I guess. I just feel like I've always been of the mindset of like, this is the commons. Like, anyone is welcome to use it, sleep over, sleep in my bed. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, I go back and forth because I think why I felt so terribly is that I totally understood. I was like, yeah, this was so shitty of me to do, like bring some guy home from a bar, like in your bed. Like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
But I mean, ultimately, like it worked out in my favor.
Yeah.
But even so, I really got it. And I didn't know that it would be like relationship devastation over forever.
Versus like mild conflict for one afternoon.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Or like a couple of weeks of space, and then we're like, we're okay.
Yeah.
But who's to say? I mean, there might have been more going on under the surface, and I'm just, that was a straw.
Yeah.
Who knows?
There's always a straw. There was a straw for Carly and Taylor, and we'll never know what it is. Unless Taylor waits, which may happen, I really do think, from how biographical her songwriting is, it feels like there is a true possibility of a tell-all memoir that comes out after her passing. May it be long and far away, but
after Taylor's passing,
yeah,
I just heard a collective gasp around the world with those words uttered.
No one lives forever. She's got many years left. Let's be clear.
If she was to, God forbid, pass.
God forbid, I know.
Before the age of 40, again, God forbid.
Oh.
It would be Marilyn, Lady Di, like, combined.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Michael. Everyone no, I would can't be like, think. Oh, I know where I was.
When I found out. Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. No, it's a horrible thought. And I think that she's too smart to do it. I think she will outsmart it for as long as humanly possible.
Oh, she's got it timed out.
But I do think that if that were to occur, that is when we'd find out. Yeah. If they were more than friends.
So true.
It's like the Evelyn Hugo of it all.
Exactly right. It's like not Jane Austen. Who wrote Jane Eyre? The Charlotte Bronte.
Yeah.
And the letters to her friend in yes. quotation mark being like I lick the envelope you sent me.
Exactly. Emily Dickinson.
Emily Dickinson to get who a taste
Taylor,
of you.
Who Taylor quotes all the time in her work.
Really?
Yes. And like they also found out they were distantly related, but Taylor Swift has made many Emily Dickinson references, and Emily Dickinson was in love with her best friend who married her brother.
No.
Yes. Yes.
That sucks.
I know.
You know what? Jared Kushner does have a Swift brother vibe.
I know. He's terrifying.
He is like a wax figurine.
He is. He belongs in Madame Tussauds and nowhere else.
With French William Fry.
Yeah. What a part two.
What a part two. What a saga.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
I had an absolute ball. This was better than if we went on a road trip to Big Sur together, just as two friends writing our name in the sand together.
Well, I was actually going to say it's better than if we just did this in one episode.
No, of course.
Which of course it is. This was just so meant to be.
We thank needed, God. Thank the God. The mics went out.
Exactly. We needed this.
Yeah, we needed this.
Well, I love you.
Love you.
May our friendship be long and prosperous and non-breakup filled.
I
know.
No, I pray about that all the time. I'm like, may it never meet its maker. And then we'd have this archive of ours, which is greater than any Vogue magazine cover in the world.
That's a horrifying thought.
I know.
Like me and my former friend had this project that
which
we did.
It's happened to which podcasters before.
Call Her Daddy is the famous example.
Yeah, but many more. Yeah. I know of one. They're suing each other right now.
Who is that? Can you say that on air?
I feel like it'll have to be bleeped out.
Okay, I'll bleep it. No.
Yes. Yes.
They're suing each other?
Yes. One is suing the other. There's like an IP battle of sorts. It's very ugly. And they were like dear friends who started this podcast together.
That's the thing. That is such a popular podcast. Like yes. the money will yes. be flowing.
Yeah.
Damn.
I know.
At the end of the day, friendships are relationships. And they always say don't mix relationships and business.
I know.
Like don't go into business with your romantic partner.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not dissimilar.
No, it's not. But it really has to do with the foundations that everything is set in.
Yeah, it does. And just like constant communication.
Yeah.
Like open communication.
Because that's what stops things from ending is the like addressing things as they come up versus letting it build up to a point of no return mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, and now actually
I hate you. And I've hated you all along.
Yeah, and I've hated you for years.
Yeah.
And like the resent that's built is like impossible to break down at this juncture.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah. That's been my experience for sure.
Yeah, always. And then even sometimes then that happens, it blows up. And then 2 years later, you're like, I've actually healed from like the resent I had for you,
yeah.
your partner, the fights that we had, our living together didn't work out. Like I have had friendship breaks that have come together in the end.
As have I.
As a beautiful love story.
Yeah. So if Uggos, if you're going through anything similar to this, know that time heals.
It really does.
It really does. Even if you feel sick about it right now, it's like in 2 years, you'll still feel sick. I won't lie to you.
Yeah.
But it'll feel a lot lighter. You'll be able to reflect on it, you know, retroactively. Like this is,
yeah,
this was meant to be in this moment. And I mean, anyone who's in your life is there for a reason. I do believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. And it's like, I think that there's a lesson in one, holding tightly to the things.
I was saying no more lessons than delivering lessons.
Yeah, to 8 lessons in a row. I'm like, and then the 5th lesson. It's like there's something to be said about holding tightly to those that you love. But there's also something to be said about like people come and go. And also, I don't know, like I have this feeling of like, especially like living in LA where I'm like nobody like, oh, like it's built such a little community here. Like I don't want anyone to go. But like that's the nature of it. It's like people will move away. People will come back. People will go have an adventure. People will turn.
Yeah. Relationships have seasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the healthiest way for them to be.
Yeah.
Because this six strong woman girl squad doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. It had an expiration date because you cannot like capture people in a moment and hold them there and expect people not to go grow and change in different directions.
No. It's something that exists in the 20s. It's different in the 30s. It's different in your 40s. It's different in your 50s.
Yeah, it is.
Friendship in our 50s.
Even the 60s. Like yeah. My parents are now like, ooh, where are we at? Like yeah. Taking stock.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I love you.
Love you too. Love you too.
Kaylor.
I know.
Gotta keep an eye out for Kaylor.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.